Thank you, Dr. Novak. Next, I would like to introduce Dr. Yang, who is a professor of cancer biology program at the University of Hawaii Cancer Center. She received her MD from Shandong Medical University and a PhD from Shandong University as well. Her research goal is to find novel strategies for mesothelioma early detection, prevention, and therapy. And during years of her study, she discovered some key mechanisms of asbestos-induced carcinogenesis. Additionally, she found that asbestos induces cell necrosis, causing the release of a critical factor called high-mobility group box protein, which functions as a master switch that, when turned on, kickstarts a series of inflammatory responses that over time lead to malignant transformation of mesothelioma cells. Additionally, she has been in collaboration with Dr. Carbone and discovered that heterozygous germline BAP mutations predispose to malignant mesothelioma. And of course, these findings open a new research field studying the mechanism of gene-environment interactions in causing mesothelioma. Her research is funded by the National Cancer Institute, the V Foundation, and the Department of Defense. And she also has received a Marie Curie scholarship from the European Commission Marie Curie Actions Program in 2005. She was one of the recipients of American Association for Cancer Research Innovating Landon Award for International Collaboration in Cancer Research in 2008. Welcome.
Thank you very much. And it's such a pleasure to come back again. Thanks to Dr. Cameron and Claire organized this fantastic symposium. And I'm learning also a lot, in fact, by listening to all the talks. So today I'm going to share with you some recent findings, especially focused on BAP1. And I put normally these slides in the last, but I want to show it first this time because this is truly a teamwork. We have a fantastic team in University of Hawaii. In fact, the leader of that team is Dr. Carbone. Many of you know him already. And we have a group of people working very hard together, try to find the mechanism and find some potential strategy for a better treatment therapy and even prevention. And we have a team of people working together. It's also, there is an international collaboration with a lot of doctors, physicians, and also families working with us. Those are very important support. So begin with, you know this already, mesothelioma is a very nasty cancer, and there is a lot of challenge. And one other thing some other speakers mentioned, and also from the audience, if we can diagnose the patient at early stage, so there are more options for the treatment, and probably we can have better improvement of prognosis and survival. And besides occupational exposure to asbestos, I want to mention here, there are a lot of environmental exposure as well. And during these years, many years of study, in fact, we learned a lot. This study also involved, for example, the study in Cappadocia, Turkey. And we know that in those areas, there are a lot of aronite, which is another type of fiber, which considered as equally or even more carcinogenic compared to asbestos crocidolite fiber. And beside that, we also did a lot of community work with society. And for example, we discovered that in North Dakota, there are very high concentration of aronite exposure due to people use aronite content gravel paved all the road there. And in fact, Nature put an editorial article talking about our research there, and the title is Fear in the Dust, because we found a lot of aronite exposure. And with the collaboration with EPA, we focused on an area called Don County, and we mapped 300 miles of road. We found they all contain aronite. So besides that, more recently, we also work with researchers in Nevada, because in southern Nevada, there is also high incidence of mesothelioma, especially patient in young cases, young age. That indicate probably there is environmental exposure. and we did a lot of work with them as well. Just ensure that with this work, besides working in the lab, we also did some social work and have some social impact. For example, in Cappadocia, after we discovered those high incidence related to also genetic factor, we convinced the Turkish government move those individuals, those people from airline containing house to some clean house. In fact, Turkish government paid for building 3 villages for those people, which is very nice. So at least they reduce the exposure of aeronide. And in North Dakota, also working with EPA, especially talk with the state government, they repaved those road with clean gravel. Now the exposure of aeronide is significantly reduced. So go back to the lab work we have been doing. We have been always studying how asbestos induce mesothelioma, because if we understand the mechanism, there will be some key factors we probably can target so we can prevent and probably improve the treatment as well. So on the left is the normal culture mesothelial cells. If you treat the cells with asbestos, you don't see the cancer development. Instead, in the culture dish, you just see cell death. So why a fiber called cell death can induce a tumor? So during these many years of study, I don't want to go to the detail, I just summarize. Basically, we found some main mechanism. We found that asbestos kill the cells, release a protein called HMGB1, that induce inflammatory reaction of the body. And those factors like TNF-alpha can help the cell survive. So you have a pool of cell instead of dying, but survive carrying the damage caused by asbestos. In the long run, you have pool of cells might get transformed. And also, other group also found the inflammasome play critical role. Dr. Shukri, I believe she will talk about that this afternoon. And here are some example. As you see, if you just treat the cells with asbestos, the cell die. But if you treat the cell with asbestos and also TNF-alpha, the cell survive. And in the long run, you start seeing the transformation of the cells. That shows malignancy development. To further prove this is HMGB1 involved, we developed a co-culture system to put macrophages and also mesocells in culture together. And you can see that after 2 months, you start seeing foci formation. Basically, the cells become malignant. If you target HMGB1, use different reagent, you can always reduce the foci formation. That suggests that targeting HMGB1 can be a preventive strategy, probably, to prevent cancer development. And we did a lot of experiment. Here, I just show one of the results. We found also targeting HMGB1 can be a therapeutic strategy. This data were published in Cancer Research 2007, and we found that also if you treat the mice with HMGB1 targeting reagent, here we use box A, you can inhibit tumor growth and improve survival. And more interestingly, we found that some anti-inflammatory drug like aspirin have also anti-HMGB1 effect. And we found that aspirin can reduce HMGB1 in the asbestos exposed mice, and also even in the mice carrying a tumor. And we also found that aspirin, these are early stage tumor in the mice, can inhibit the tumor growth and also improve the survival. And we also found that HMGB1 is really critical. It is also a biomarker, hopefully, for the screening study, since some of the audience mentioned that topic. We found that HMGB1 serum level is significantly higher in mesothelioma patients compared to healthy control. In fact, we also saw HMGB1 increase in asbestos exposed individual. More recently, we discovered there are different isoforms that can be detected in different population. And I just show one figure since we don't have much time to specify in detail. Basically, we found that in healthy individual, HMGB1, this is total HMGB1, is very low. When people are exposed to asbestos, these are the occupational exposure population provided by Dr. Harvey Pass. And you can see asbestos-exposed individuals have elevated HMGB1. And then mesothelioma patients have even higher HMGB1. And then if you move on to look at the specific isoform of HMGB1, here we are looking at hyperacylated HMGB1, which is in fact secreted by tumor cells. And that isoform can definitely specifically recognize a tumor patient. And they give us a fantastic significant sensitivity and specificity. We hope this can be a good biomarker for us to catch the disease at early stage. So currently we are doing clinical trial, and we have a clinical trial sponsored by EDRN that is led by Dr. Harvey Pass and part of that trial. And in fact, besides the HMGB1, we'll also look at many other biomarkers. In the meantime, we also have a grant from DOD. It's a team award. We will also look at cohorts, larger cohorts, and also study the function of different isoform HMGB1 to see how it plays a critical role in mesothelioma development and progression. Then go back to the story of genetic factors. As I mentioned that during many years of study, we learned a lot. And before, if you mentioned there is probably gene predispose people to mesothelioma, people didn't believe it. But after all this year study, and we found there is a gene. And this story, in fact, started many years ago in Cappadocia, Turkey. Again, that is initiated by Dr. Carboni. And we found that in that area, there are three villages called Karin, Old Sarita, and Tuskoy. And those three villages, the cancer incidence, mesothelioma incidence is very high. It's 50%. Basically, one out of two people die of meso. And one of the reasons is they have the environmental exposure is arenite, as I mentioned before. However, beside that, whether there are other factors. So Dr. Carboni formed a team to study that population. I have been there many times. I probably inhaled a lot of arenite as well. And this is Dr. Harvey Pass. He also went with us there. And during many years of study, we also mapped those villages, tried to compare house by house, family by family. And we noticed that there are, this is a pedigree, we noticed there is kind of genetic factor because you see those family. And also if individual from a cancer meso family marry into another family which didn't see meso patient before, in the children you start seeing meso patient. So that suggests there is probably a genetic factor make those people very sensitive to development of mesothelioma. In the meantime, we also got contact by some American families. And in fact, it's one of the meeting we went and one of the family member approached us saying that, doctor, you saw those epidemic in Turkey, but in our family, we saw this also high incidence of mesothelioma. Can you help us? So then we focus on two family. One we called W, which is in fact in Wisconsin. The other is L, is in Louisiana. And in those family, we saw a lot of mesothelioma cases. And with the support of the family members, we did a very comprehensive study, try to compare the gene and try to find the genetic factor. And in the end, luckily we found it. And we found that germline BOP1 mutation predisposes individuals to mesothelioma. What happens is if there is BOP1 mutation, the protein gets truncated, and the protein no longer moves into nucleus and lose function. And in fact, we also found this is an animal model. We found that those people carrying BOP1 mutation are very sensitive to even low dose of asbestos. And we use animal model mimicked what happened in the human being, basically the animal carrying heterozygous mutation. So in those mice, even we expose those mice to 10 times lower dose compared to normal dose, you see the wild type mice develop tumor. In those mice, you see very high incidence of meso already. That definitely suggests the genetic factor plays a critical role, at least in those population. Also with further study, there are more and more family got involved and approached us, and we include a big cohort of people. And we found that there are, in fact, a lot of people, more than we thought, carrying bulk mammary mutation. We are still trying to figure out the exact percentage. However, in our study, also collaborated with MAF, that by screening, putting some criteria or select those familial mesothelioma cases, we do see quite a few bulk band mutant carriers. 2 years ago, we published in PLOS Genetics for a study because we found that 4 patients carrying the exactly identical mutation. In fact, in the end, we were able to trace to 1,700 found that ancestor. And by doing that, we also found more branch of that family. And now we have more even bulk band mutant carriers involved in this study. As I mentioned, bulk band mutation causes mesothelioma. However, not just mesothelioma. We found that it is the bulk band cancer syndrome. Because besides mesothelioma, there is also uveal melanoma that is related to bulk band cancer mutation, and also cutaneous melanoma and some other cancer that needs to be studied. So why BUP1 cause tumor? Why BUP1 mutation cause cancer development? So that is a big question, always puzzles us. So here, basically, I want to spend a few minutes just focusing on the 2 most recent studies we published this year. One is in Nature. The other is cell death differentiation. So these 2 papers caught a lot of attention because the novelty and also probably that will put some impact on mesothelioma, how you look at the cancer development in general even. So this is Angela, first author. She spent a lot of work in this study. What we found is basically BUP1 mutant carriers, of course, has less Y-type BUP1. What we use is fibroblast from derived from those individuals. What we do, we got a skin biopsy and culture their cell out. So we use exactly the primary cells from those individuals, so we avoid any artificial effect from the cell line culture or those tumor banks. So by checking those fibroblasts, primary culture from those germline mutant carriers, we found that they have less Y-type BUP1 compared to the Y-type. So here are different pairs. We pair them with age and sex. And if you look at the cells in normal culture, you don't really see big difference. They grow similar. So Y-type BUP1 mutant, they are similar. And if you look at the cell cycle, they look similar as well. So then what caused those BUP1 mutant carrier develop cancer? Then with further study, we noticed some difference. We noticed that BUP1 plus minus cells somehow don't die. So put in another word, we try to kill those cells, for example, with H2O2, and also we use some apoptotic inducer. We notice that Y-type cell die, but plus minus cell are very resistant to those cell death inducer. And we try to understand why. Apoptosis and cell death very much regulated by mechanism in the cytoplasm. BUP1 initially was considered as nuclear protein, and the function mainly people thought is regulating DNA repair. However, since we saw the difference in cell death, so we look at the cytoplasm as well. And we noticed that, surprisingly, BUP1 localized at ER as well, besides nucleus. So that is a big surprise and also exciting result for us. And compared to Y-type, you notice that the plus-minus cell have even less in the ER compared to the nucleus. Basically, already they lose one copy, and the rest of the healthy copy mainly go to nucleus, so they barely have anything in the cytoplasm in the ER. And by further study, we know that ER is a major store of intracellular calcium, and ER to mitochondrial calcium transfer is important in the control of cell metabolism and apoptosis as well. And we know that there is a channel called IP3R3. So that channel is basically calcium channel. So that can regulate the calcium flux from ER to mitochondria and regulate the cell death. Again, I don't want to go too much the detail to bore you guys with those molecular biology work. I just want to show some slides, give you a summary of what we found. So we found that BOP1 modulate intracellular calcium flux. What we found that BOP1 plus minus cells have reduced ER calcium release and also reduced mitochondrial calcium concentration. That explains to you why those plus minus cells don't die, because they don't have the calcium flux from the ER to mitochondria. And we also found that fibroblasts from plus minus donor have definitely reduced IP3R3, which is the channel regulate calcium flux. And the reason they have less IP3R3, because they have less BOP1. And we found that BOP1 interact with IP3R3 and protect it by degradation. So again, these are some very comprehensive molecular biology work. We found these two protein binds, and BOP1 also prevent the degradation of IP3R3. So in another word, if there is BOP1, IP3R3 can be maintained. So you have a decent amount of this protein in the cells. However, if you don't have BOP1, the IP3R3 also get degraded. Then you lack of that protein, also the cell don't die of apoptosis. So what we found that in nucleus, as people reported before, BOP1 have some function. It regulates DNA repair. And what we discovered is that BOP1 have also cytoplasmic function, which involves regulating IP3R mediate calcium flux and induce apoptosis. So these two functions, in fact, interact and work in concert to protect the cells from developing cancer. And there are a lot of work we also did to check the DNA repair, and we did find that BOP1 mutant cells have impaired DNA repair, and not only in asbestos-treated cells, but even in the UV-treated cells, you saw the same. That probably explains partly why we also see the uveal melanoma in those patients and also cutaneous melanoma in those patients. And in summary, just to help you understand what I have been trying to explain, in Y-type cells, there is a healthy BOP1 with normal function. So in the nucleus, if there is damage, including, for example, asbestos or UV light or radiation or chemotherapy, for example, induce the damage of the DNA. The Y-type normal BOP1 can try to fix it, try to repair the DNA. If the DNA cannot be repaired, it will stimulate the strategy of inducing the calcium flux from ER to mitochondria through the channel IP3R3. And the cell will die of apoptosis. So you basically delayed those cells who are not healthy. However, in the BOP1 mutant carriers, in the cells that is plus minus, you don't have enough BOP1 first in the nucleus to fix DNA damage. So you have accumulation of DNA damage. And in the meantime, since you don't have enough BOP1 in the cytoplasm, the IP3R iron calcium channel got degraded. So you don't have the calcium flux from ER to mitochondria. So the cell cannot go to apoptosis, the cell don't die. Then you have accumulation of those non-healthy cancer cells. Then in the long run, they develop cancer. So this basically is what we found plays the critical role to explain why BOP1 mutant carrier are predisposed to carcinogenesis. This is a summary slide, basically explain to what I just said. Then the next 5 minutes, I'm going to go to another findings we developed recently about germline buffer mutation induce Warburg effect. So what is Warburg effect? Is basically the cancer cell can use energy in a different way, can produce energy in a different way compared to normal cells. In fact, it's considered one of the hallmark of cancer. You saw these slides in Anna's presentation. So basically, cancer have different strategy of producing their energy. Normal cells, healthy cells, what they normally produce energy through the TCA cycle. Occasionally, when there is low oxygen, it goes to glycolysis and produce lactate. That is called anaerobic glycolysis. However, in cancer cells, you don't see much of this pathway. So there is no much TCA cycle, Krebs cycle. Instead, the cancer cell mainly produce their ATP energy through the glycolysis, even if there is oxygen. So that is why it's called anaerobic glycolysis, or we call it Warburg effect, because it's named after Dr. Warburg, who got Nobel Prize. So what we did, just by curiosity, we want to check in those individuals we have been following who carry buffer mutation, whether we see some metabolomic change. So what we used are the plasma from those individuals, either with buffer mutation or the sex, age, paired, matched, healthy individual in those family. And we also use the fibroblast cells. As I said, we derive the primary fibroblast cells from their skin biopsy. So we analyze metabolomic profile in those plasma and also cells. And very interestingly, we found that they have distinguished different profile compared to wild type versus plus minus cells. It happens in both plasma and also in cells. What I also want to emphasize is those mutant carriers, most of them are healthy. They are not cancer patients. Some of them are very young as well. So we are also at the time very excited, also surprised to see such significant difference despite they are healthy. So we know that metabolites can be regulated by many things, including diet, age. So we want to double check, make sure the difference we saw is really due to BAPPA mutation. So we group them with age, compared with the different years of collection of the blood, and also sex. We found that the difference we saw are definitely due to the different status of BAPPA. We even did another study. We blindly threw in some healthy individual without BAPPA mutation, basically those are Y-type healthy individual, and they all fall into the healthy side. In the meantime, at that time, also another patient from a Wisconsin family was involved. We haven't at that time tested the gene yet, so we didn't know that person's BAPPA status. So we did this metabolomic profile first, and we found that it fell in the healthy side, the Y-type side. And later on, we sequenced the DNA, and we found, indeed, it is BAPPA Y-type. So that further suggests the metabolomic profile we observed is due to the different BAPPA status. With further study, we noticed that, in fact, germline BAPPA mutation have significant effect on the energy metabolism. Especially, we found that there are several of those alter those change metabolites in between the BAPPA Y-type and plus minor cells were in fact in the glycolic or TCA cycle. So that is very interesting. Basically, we found that those individuals, if they have mutant BAPPA, despite it's heterozygous, basically they have one allele of Y-type, one allele is mutant BAPPA. But you see in those individuals, normal cells, they already have different signature or metabolomic profile. And there are less TCA cycle, but more go to the glycolysis. And there are more lactate released by their cells. So this is very interesting. We, of course, did further study to prove it. Here again, I don't want to bore you with all the detailed molecular biology study result. Basically, we did a lot of check, including the seahorse study, to study glycolytic activity in those cells. And we found, yes, in BAP1 plus minus cells, they have increased glycolysis and reduced or impaired mitochondrial respiration. So in summary, as I mentioned before, not just cancer cells show this Weiberg effect. Also, in those BAP1 plus minus cells, basically in those individuals carrying heterozygous BAP1 mutation, despite they are still healthy, you start seeing the difference in glycolysis or the energy producing profile. So those individuals have less TCA cycle, more glycolysis. So in summary, we found that BAP1 cells produce most of their energy via aerobic glycolysis, or called Warburg effect. And we found that BAP1 germline mutation carriers have a distinct metabolic signature. And we found BAP1 mutation leads to increased aerobic glycolysis and impaired mitochondrial respiration. The Warburg effect, in addition to being a hallmark of cancer cells, we found it's also basically can be found also in normal cells from those individuals carrying BAP1 mutation, and in fact, it's heterozygous mutation. And thus, the Warburg effect does not necessarily occur as an adaptive process that is the consequence of carcinogenesis, but it can also predate many years of the malignant development and probably can even facilitate the cancer development. So we think this is very important because this improved our concept, also probably will change the concept not only in mesothelioma study, but I think in cancer research in general. So again, I'm very excited sharing the result with you. And these are the research findings of mine that support all the studies, and I appreciate all the people working with us. And I hope there will be more physicians, clinicians, and researchers work with us so we can really fight this challenging disease. Thank you.